In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, welcome to Rose Sunday. On this third Sunday of Advent, more officially called Gaudete Sunday, from the first Latin word in the entrance rite, entroit, rejoice, taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, and again, again, I say rejoice. And that's what this pink candle tells us to do today. The question for this sermon and for this day is, do we have to obey the pink candle this year? It's been a hard year. As we know, about a year ago, like January, we heard about the virus and people were getting sick in other parts of the world. Then we started getting sick and people started just dying. And here, and what the haunting moment came in Manhattan when refrigerator trucks backed up into hospitals and people began to lose people they love and lose their financial livelihood. And the lucky ones, the fortunate ones, have had this year of insecurity, mental stress, and worry. And yet, at the end of this year, we have this, what they say in the news, light at the end of the tunnel. This amazing vaccine. A year from now, we might be whole again, albeit with the aftermath of so much loss. But it's a tough year. Do we have to bathe the candle to rejoice now? Well, I tell a story. I always tell a story. It's a sermon. And when I was a boy, I grew up with another boy who I loved dearly. His name, like mine, was David. And we had something in common. We were innately religious. And we loved our faith. He was Jewish, and I was Christian. And we felt that we were kindred spirits. And he would go to my services, and I would visit his services. And because of our closeness, we also would joke with one another. We would banter back and forth. One time I remember saying to him, "Oh, David, you have it easy in Judaism. You just have one day of atonement. We have 40 days of Lent. 40 days of having to give up things and suffer." And without a second pause, quick was his quip. He said, "That's nothing. Our whole history has been suffering." And I thought about that this week. I thought about this week reading the words of Isaiah, today's Old Testament, the history of Israel, and some of their suffering. It went about a little further than our 1 year to 2 years. When Isaiah was living in the latter part of the 8th century, there were 12 tribes of Israel. As you know, the 10 tribes lived in the north, the 2 in the south. And the Assyrian Empire, the superpower of the day, conquered the 10 northern tribes. And they did a cruel thing. They obliterated them. They deported the population, dispersed them. And to this day, we refer to those 10 tribes, the 10 lost tribes of Israel. The two tribes left in the southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin, which housed the holy city of Jerusalem, shook in their boots for the decades to come with a gauntlet fallen them. Indeed, they didn't feel too much like the chosen people of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Leah and Rachel. And sure enough, in a century and a half, the gauntlet did fall. The next superpower, the Babylonian Empire under King Nebuchadnezzar, conquered the southern kingdom. And they deported many of its population to Babylon, the very part of the population that might have made a difference. And unlike us, who might be separated this year from our places of worship or from our homes or from our friends, though nevertheless, we know that it's there to come back to. Nevertheless, we can see them through technology. The people exiled to Babylon could not see because their place of worship, the temple, was destroyed. The walls flattened. The financial structure utterly obliterated. And they weren't exiled for just a year, or maybe two, but for 70 years. Some people would be born, they would live, and they would die in exile, never seeing the land from which they came. And some of the Israelites, the Judeans, probably said, "Fine, I'll just become Babylonian and be done with it." But some of the prophets that followed the spirit of Isaiah said to them, "No, you remember who you are. You are the ancestors of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca and Jacob and Leah and Rachel. God has his hand on you, and God is going to work through you. And so you hold fast that which you have. And one day God will bring you back." And the famous words in Isaiah, "He will make the crooked way straight. He will make the mountains low. He will make the valleys rise. And you will go back to your home. You will go back, yes, to a pile of rocks. But you'll take the rocks and you'll build your temple and your wall and your city and your home. And more importantly, you will build your faith back. And you will have prophets and sages to remind you who you are, to remind you what you have forgotten about the law of Moses and what you have forgotten about Yahweh. And during that 70 years of exile, like our 2 years here is long, they were reminded of their ancestors centuries and centuries before who enslaved in Egypt, not for a mere 70 years, but for centuries until they were delivered by Moses. And after their deliverance, and after going to Mount Sinai, it took 40 years in the desert. It took many decades for them to be reminded of who they were. They had forgotten who they were, with their rights and privileges and dignity stripped from them. And so, when we think about this tough year, we've had people of faith long before us who had it a lot tougher. Slaves, exiled, hurting. And even today, there are those enslaved and hurting that don't have a vaccine to look forward to restoring their health. So, the question today has been, how do we, even in the tough year, how do we join those in ancient Israel and those who have gone before us and obey this pink candle and rejoice in the Lord? Well, first we have to realize that there's a difference in language. We confuse, especially us English-speaking people, our words. We have a lot of words, don't we? But sometimes we don't. Our word law has to cover so many laws, doesn't it? And so often we confuse the joy of this pink candle, that this pink candle preaches, the peace of God with that of happiness, cultural happiness. And indeed, I love happiness. We seek happiness. Our forebears told us to pursue happiness. But happiness is connected to human circumstances. And happiness ebbs and flows, does it not? And life is not fair. Some people have it more privileged than others. Some people are just genetically more cheerful than others. So when we have happiness, yay, raw. Enjoy it. May we all be peppered with moments of happiness. This is lovely. I hope for them. But that's not what the pink candle tells us today. It talks about joy and rejoice in the spiritual sense. So what is that? My favorite definition of the rejoice of Rose Sunday comes from the 20th century Dutch theologian Henry Nouwen, a pastoral giant, still today, even long after his death. He said a beautiful thing. Unlike happiness, which is tied to human circumstances, joy, rejoice, is the experience or the knowledge of knowing that you are unconditionally loved, and nothing can take away that love. Not sickness, or failure, or distress, or disease, or oppression, or war, or even death can take it away. Let me just say it one more time. Joy, rejoice, is experience or knowledge that you are unconditionally loved, and nothing can take that away. Not sickness or failure or distress or oppression or war or even death can take that away. And that is what the pink candle teaches us today, preaches to us. But the question of this sermon is this. The question of our day.